Go ahead and take your seats. Thank you, guys. Wonderful. Thank you so much. You can appreciate them if you wish this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a blessing to see you all today. A lot of serious looking faces. A lot of other looking faces. Still glad you're here. Praise God. God is good. Amen. I'm just getting in my Holy Ghost zone. I'm in it now. I was in it earlier. I stayed in it. What a joy it is to be a child of God. And our goal is to prayerfully pray everyone into the kingdom of God, that everyone would be children of God, committed and dedicated to following Jesus. It's not his will that any man or woman should perish, but that all would know him. And that is the goal of the church that he has given us, is to build his church, to build the kingdom of God. So if you're here amongst us today and you've never as yet said yes to Jesus, we're praying for you. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not going to force anyone to do anything they don't want to do. But like a lover, he might woo you to himself and draw you to himself and then bring you into the family of God. So we're trusting God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in such a way that we will see a fresh harvest of souls. You might think, well, Pastor, where are they going to go? There's always room. There's always room in the inn for people who want to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And that's got nothing to do with what we're talking about today whatsoever. Just a wee introduction to say hello to you all. Who was here last week? Did anyone grab anything last week? Well, today we're going to talk about another topic matter that is really unlimited, and that is wisdom. How many of you would say that the world we live in is a bit of a mess? Now, from top to bottom, the world needs Jesus, first and foremost. But there are certain aspects of Christ that we have adopted and we've asked him for. If you hang around here long enough, you'll hear a very, very constant prayer. It's like a proverb prayer. It's like, God, we are praying for wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Because we need those attributes in our life today. And without them, we're going to come way up short and we're going to make a mess. Which brings you to the point, is the world in such a mess because it lacks godly wisdom, godly knowledge, and godly understanding? I would say it is. I would say that the world is full of selfishness. It's full of men who have huge egos, and women who want to be famous, who want celebrity status. And really, at the moment, not many of them are in it for the people. Jesus is all about the people. It's okay having nice buildings and structures and lots of things going on, but Jesus is the good shepherd, and he loves his sheep. So I've kind of got over all my shenanigans, you know, about complaining, about strikes, and the NHS, and finances, and the heating bills, you know, and all that stuff. I've kind of got over myself, because in the middle of that, I forget who I serve. I serve him who has given me everything anyway, and I'm just kind of passing through here. He's given me what I need for life, so my job now, and our leadership, is to simply pray. And pray hard for the world and the country and the government and the peoples who rule over us, and to pray for them diligently and faithfully. And that's what we will do. So we're not going to get too caught up in all the other stuff. So when we come round the coffee tables and we hear you moaning, you'll probably be quiet when I get close to you. But that often happens. Wisdom. Say wisdom. What? Who thinks they need more wisdom? Oh, God, have mercy. See, why do we need wisdom? This is the big question. People think they're wise enough, they're smart enough, life's not too bad. Why do we need wisdom? Well, first of all, it's not to allow us to go around all puffed up with knowledge, putting other people in their place. That's not what it is. Actually, the need for wisdom is really quite simple in many regards. It's firstly to discern that which is false, first and foremost, and then is to reveal to us that which is true. And you may not realize it yet, but there is great, great power in godly wisdom. Great power. But understand this, wisdom takes faith, but it also takes patience. And I'm not the most patient of people. Not at all. But wisdom takes faith and patience because of what you already know or think you know from experience. Now, here are what some wise authors have to say to you and I today. The great Charles Spurgeon says, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. To know is not to be wise. Many men know a great deal and are all the greater fools for it. There is no fool so great a fool as a knowing fool. Hello? But to know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom. Amen. John Newton says, the chief means for attaining wisdom and suitable gifts for the ministry are the scriptures and prayer. Amen. Charles Ryrie said, the wisdom of God tells us that God, I love this one, he will bring about the best possible results by the best possible means for the most possible people for the longest possible time. But let us today consider another wise man called Solomon. Now, Solomon was just anointed to be king over Israel. Tradition was, when you become king, you would sacrifice a bull as an act of worship to God. That's how it works. So, well, when we look at Solomon, Solomon didn't sacrifice just one bull. He went way over the top, OTT, and actually gave this extravagant offering and sacrificed 1,000 animals in a huge offering to honor his God. And whether it was a result of that or not, we're not quite sure, but we do know that that night God appeared to Solomon and said, hey, what do you want? I will give you, Solomon, whatever you want. You name it, one thing, whatever you want, I am going to give that to you. Now imagine that if God came amongst us today and he asked us anything you want. We would soon find out how Christian you are. Or how godly you are. Because I am not convinced that many of us, if God says one thing, you can have it, it's yours, would say wisdom. Would say wisdom. But that's what God did with Solomon. Whatever you want. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 verse 10, it shows us the amazing thing that Solomon then asked for. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead these people, for who is able to govern over this great people of yours? Anything you want, Solomon. And he says, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me knowledge. And evidently, watch this now. See, certain things touch and move the heart of God. Evidently, this response so moved God that God said, you know, Solomon, you could have asked for money. You could have asked for power. You could have asked for fame. You could have asked me to wipe out every single one of your enemies. But since you asked for wisdom, not only am I going to give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you all of these other things at the same time. And Solomon went on to write and say more about godly wisdom than anybody else in Scripture. And over again, his key line was, wisdom is better. Wisdom is better. He said, wisdom is far better than weapons. Now, for a king living in a time where he has the best weapons, then he would also have the most power. So that's a huge statement. He said, wisdom is actually better than strength. And in Proverbs 16, verse 16, he wrote, how much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are most costly than gold. The one thing that Solomon desired was he desired the Lord. He desired God. And it's like above all of these other things, he knew he had a responsibility to the people of God. So all of those things didn't really matter as long as he served his God and served the people of God. And this, to a certain degree, is the heartbeat of Mossvale Community Church. We're not so interested to consume things, to have things, to be materially minded. We're interested in shepherding the people that God has given into our care with wisdom and with knowledge and with understanding. Why? So we get it right. So we get it right. He named the most precious commodity, not only in this particular era, but for centuries. Gold represented power. Gold represented prestige. And he said, how much better to get wisdom, that which everybody else wants. And then he took the second most valuable commodity, and he's saying, it is better to have God's insight. It is better to have godly discernment than silver. Wow. I'm not sure we would say it that way today if it came upon us. How many of you amongst us right now, perhaps, I know many of you will, have some decisions to make that are incredibly important to you. A lot of us at every different season of life, we have incredibly tough, we have hard decisions to make, from education to employment to relationships. Someone says we make our decisions and then our decisions make us. That's how it plays out. If there was a better way, if there was a better way to accomplish these decisions, these plans, and these purposes, then hear me now, then perhaps we would be experiencing those other circumstances instead of what you are experiencing right now. Understand this, if there was a kinder, faster, more expedient way, God would be, of course, using it. So hear me tonight, hear me today. The circumstances that you and I find ourselves in right now, they are exactly what you need for this period of your life. Are you hearing this? I want you to take that home with you and see how that plays out. What this implication from God, for the Lord would even say, wisdom for you means that whatever your life looks right like right now, God, hear this in the Spirit, catch this. God, speak to me, Father. God is wisely and sovereignly ordering your circumstances. Hear this. Why is he doing that? God is saying he's doing that because he has something for you to attain. He's got something for you to achieve through you in your marriage, in your family, in your work, in your witness, and in your worship that cannot be accomplished any other way. Are you hearing this? In other words, who you are today is a direct result of the decisions that you made yesterday. And I want you to think about this. Who you become tomorrow. Who you become tomorrow is a direct result of the decisions that you are going to make right now. and today and for your life. And so, dearly beloved, we need to look at how we make decisions in such a way that are going to honor God daily in our Christian walk. Now, we all know, don't we, there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. So here's the encouragement. I'm just digressing here. Here's the encouragement. You can read one a day for a month, the book of wisdom. If you read the book of wisdom, you get wiser. That was not prophetic. Understand especially those of you who are younger, and this is so incredibly valuable, what has been presented through the Word of God, through the book of Proverbs. Now, you ask people my age or older what they would do if they could go back and change some of the decisions they made. Some will say, if I knew then what I know now, I may have done things slightly differently. Is that right? And if you get wisdom today, and if you make decisions not based on the wisdom of the world, which is called foolishness, but based on the wisdom directly that flows out of the heart of God, I am telling you for a fact, I'm telling you a truth, you will go from being an average mundane life to someone who starts to impact generations for the glory of God, on and on and on. But we have to get godly wisdom installed into our lives. And right now, perhaps, some of you, this is perhaps what you're needing in your life, me too, more than anything else. Why? Because your relationship might not be going very well right now, and you're like, hey, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. What do you need? You need relational wisdom, and you need wise counsel in your life. Financially, someone might be in here right now and you're sinking. What do you need? You need financial wisdom. You're trying to make decisions about finding a job from God. What do you need? You need His unlimited wisdom. You've got children. Hello. Children of any age, what do you need? Oh, my goodness. We need wisdom like we've never needed wisdom before. Here's what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. The beginning of wisdom, get this, get wisdom, though it cost you everything you have, get understanding. Dear ones, you want to glorify God. You want to make some kind of impact or difference in this world. You want to do more than take up space and accumulate things that will burn up when we leave this earth. Then pray and ask God for wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Amen. And if you watch Solomon all through his teaching, he contrasts the foolish people with the wise. And over and over and over again, he's saying, don't be a fool, be wise. Now, how many of you know a fool? Because here's the problem. Fools don't really know when they're being fools. You ever notice that? They think they've been wise when they've actually been foolish. Now, we look back at our lives. I tend to try and not look back in mine. But we tend to look back in our lives, the days when we were younger. Who remembers those days? It's a long time for some. The hairstyles. Yeah. The spiral perms. The shoulder pads. And the girls were just as bad, weren't they, in those days? We thought we were cool. I have never thought myself as being cool, ever, to this day. Gail says you wear navy blue every day of the week. It's true. How many of you often act before you think? You show hands. Yeah, the rest of you are liars. Next week's topic is unlimited lying. See how many shop for that one. About 10 people here next Sunday. How many of you spend all your wages before payday? How many of you occasionally perhaps hurt someone you love? And how many, if you're like me, you get often so full of pride, you're too slow to ask for help when you need it? If you do any of those things, guess what the Bible says you are? You're foolish and you don't even know it. And I've probably just offended someone in here just by saying that. And you're probably going to stop listening. And right now, instead, you're starting already writing it in your head the text message you're going to send me later. Oh, yeah, we get them. Please don't. Stay engaged. Hear this out. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 16 says, wise people think before they act, fools don't, and then even brag about their foolishness. Fools act before they think. And then Proverbs 21, verse 20, the wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. What does a foolish man do? He devours it all, he eats it all, he spends it all, but everybody else is doing it. That's how the world works. Everyone else is doing it, playing the game. Well, everyone else is foolish. Everyone else. Fools waste everything they have. Everything. And sadly, fools also hurt those whom they love. Proverbs 14, verse 1, the wise woman builds her house. Thank God we've got many wise women. So the wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears it down. She belittles them. Oh. She nags. She controls. Sorry, ladies. What does he do? He's domineering. He's angry. The foolish one tears down. The foolish one's hurt. The ones they love. And then finally, fools, have you ever figured this out? Fools actually think they know it all. My, my. Proverbs 12, verse 15. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Scripture says what? Choose wisdom. Get understanding. Why? Because in my estimation, it's supreme. Though it costs you everything you have, if you get wisdom, it will change the course, the trajectory, or the direction of your life. And then you can impact more people, more and more people, for the glory of God. If you make decisions that are not based on the pros and cons, not based on the wisdom of this world, which is foolishness to God, but based on wisdom that flows directly out of the heart of God. Praise God. The good news is the Bible is really clear concerning all of this stuff. Three very direct verses that tell us incredibly clearly how you and I can now access the limitless wisdom of God. And it actually starts, believe it or not, with the fear of God. Here's my closing thoughts. We should fear God 100%. But listen to this. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now, does this mean that you and I are going to walk around thinking, is God going to strike me down today? Is God out to get me? No. The fear of the Lord in the Old Testament, it is a reverential fear. It is a holy awe of He who is an awesome God. But what so many of us are afraid of is when we're making decisions, is we're actually afraid of rejection. What are people going to think? And not only are we afraid of rejection, we're also afraid of failure. What if I try and don't make it? Listen to me. What we should do is live with this awe daily and fear of God. You see, I think we become too familiar with a God who is holy. If God's presence was with you and I today in his fullest form. I mean, we're talking the glory of God. Every single one of us would be on our faces. Because there's no one like our God. No one compares to him. He is holy. He is righteous. He is powerful. And when you let that take over your mind, you start to not care at all about what anyone thinks of you and the life you've chosen to live in following him. Your desire has become solely to please him. And that is the beginning of wisdom, to serve and please and be in awe of a holy God. The decisions I make, listen to this, the decisions that I make, there's an eternal weight on these decisions. The questions that stem from that are this: how will this glorify God? How will this make his name known? How does this lead me to be more like his son, Jesus Christ? Church, it starts with a fear of the Lord. I'll just say it this way. There were a bunch of fools all over this world not fearing God. Not fearing God. But if you start to fear him, all of a sudden you'll find yourself making decisions that actually are pleasing in his sight. The fear of the Lord. The second thing, simple stuff, I told you it was back to basics, is to ask God. Ask God for wisdom. He will tell you when I step out of bed in the morning, it's about time, about 5:30, I try to be quiet. But I'm big boned. I ask God in the morning, every morning of my life, Lord, what would you have me to do today? And I'll just tell you a truth. Sometimes I go to my bed at night and I just made a bit of a mess. And what I've done that day has not been entirely pleasing to God. It's not been that good. Maybe engaged something or said something or thought something that I perhaps shouldn't have about somebody else. I won't tell you who it was about. Ask me later. Tenors are welcome. Ask him. You want wisdom? Ask. And I love this. It couldn't be any more direct and simpler than James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So hear what we're saying. When you pray, and I'm trusting as believers, we all pray. Pray for wisdom and direction all day long. Ask God, what do you think? And watch as God begins to install wisdom into your life. You fear God, you ask God, and then finally, you want wisdom? Big one. Hang out with wise people. Hang out with wise people. Proverbs 13, verse 20. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffer harm. Scripture says bad company corrupts good character. That's just simply true. True. And I'm not saying you abandon all your friends. But what I'm saying is, the encouragement is to hang out with some spiritually wise people. That doesn't mean clever people. That's not intellectual people. It's not the smart candidates of the church. That's different. This is godly, wise men and women. And I'll tell you a fact, because I can witness to this myself. If you do that, you'll begin to feel changes in your character and your life, simply. It's the wisdom of the heart of God that allows me to stand here and do what I'm doing. Hear this. Be wise. Be wise enough. Be wise enough to do something with it. If you do, you will make a difference. Gossips, slanderers, critics, All they do is tear down. You know what wise people do? They talk with truth to build up. And that's where integrity of the heart and the spirit comes from. Be wise enough and you'll begin to see changes in your life and your environment and your personality. Watch the development take place as you come alongside godly, wise people with good godly counsel. A fool thinks they know it all. A fool says in his heart there is no God. A fool does life without God. And listen, we need more than anything else. This is what we need, because we're foolish without God. Every one of us need Jesus. That's the answer. He is the embodiment of all wisdom. He is the Word made flesh. Would you stand with me this morning? We're closing up. If you just want to close your eyes, if you're comfortable doing that, that means you don't need to look at anybody else. I felt like kind of prompting in mid-sermon. Just regarding decision-making. And I don't think this is for many people. But you found yourself in a place of a little bit of a place of uncertainty. And you're just needing wisdom regarding where your foot's to go next. And I just sensed the Spirit was saying, for you, this is the most crucial step that you've come to in your life journey. And what you do next, what you do next will have consequences either for good or bad. It's a bit tough. But with God, wisdom that flows out of the heart of God into you, God is saying to you that you will make the correct decision that will enable you to move on from where you are to the other place that he has for you in your life. So we're going to do a song, just as a response song. I know this takes a little bit of courage here at church sometimes, but should the Holy Spirit be speaking to you regarding anything of this today? It was said in here during the week, it was Pastor Debbie says it, there is such great faith standing up and walking out here. There's a shift. There is. Because you're showing Jesus that you're serious about what you're about to do. And if you're needing an installation of godly wisdom regarding decision making in your life right now, I just get a sense that's why the Holy Spirit's here today. Is to pour that fresh investment of wisdom and knowledge and understanding into you. So I'm going to say no more. I'm going to leave it there. As Gabrielle leads in this worship song, if that's you and you would just like someone to pray with you and lay hands on you today, we'll do that now and we'll do that quickly under the unction of the Holy Spirit. So when we sing, the altar's open. I understand it's tough, but it's a moment. It's a moment designated by God for you today. And I believe should you have the boldness and courage to step out, God will honor you as you honor God, and God will bless you as you bless him. So let's sing this. If no one comes, Stephen will come at the end and just close us up. God bless you all.